Tonight on The Good Atheist, we answer your questions in our mailbag episode. Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
As you may have noticed, a little bit of a different intro song. This is not the new permanent song, but it is sort of a kind of an experiment. And I was really getting tired of the old one, so say hello to this one until I work on the finalized version, I guess.
So basically, remember you said the same thing about that last one, and it was, going on 2 years or something we've been using it?
I think just a year. Honestly, I think it was just a year.
This one is a lot more tropical. The other one was very Halloween.
Oh, it was Halloween. I mean, the name of the file was like Scary Sounds, like 85 or something like that for the song we used. So it was very, very, very Halloween themed. I don't even know why. It wasn't even close to Halloween when we did it, but I guess I was going for that whole pulp 50s look. But it turns out that I could not pull that off. But, you know, you were still stuck with that intro for like a whole year. So hopefully this won't be the situation now. But this one is much more entertaining, I think.
It's very soothing. Makes me feel like I should be on a beach. Definitely is hot enough for it to be beach weather.
Maybe where you are, but actually around here it's like 11 degrees. Like summer never comes to Alberta, I tell you what.
So what are you doing there again?
Well, it's because Carissa can get lots of jobs here. That's why we live here. But otherwise, the temperature is balls.
Sounds quite balls. It's a heat wave here. Heat wave!
Is that a good thing, though? I mean, you don't even have AC.
Eh, it's not bad. It's not bad.
You're going to sweat your balls off doing the show, aren't you?
Look, winter depresses me. I can't let summer depress me, too. I'll complain about the heat, but it's 100 times better than it being miserable and cold and dark all the time.
Okay. That's fair enough. Today on the show, as you may have heard from the intro, it's a mailbag episode, so I figured I'd ease my way back, because for those of you that didn't know, I just finished coming back from having done a two-day festival with Carissa. I ran essentially her cafe for an event that she held. So it was called Light and Motion. I think it was about 80 people there, including like 14 teachers, so pretty massive. And we decided this year that my participation, because this is the first year I participate, was going to be to use my cooking skills to see if we could actually generate a little bit more money.
You know, it sounds like she basically was like, she sent you to the kitchen, Jake.
Yes, oftentimes I am sent to the kitchen, and I'm barefoot oftentimes as well. Just not preggers. Just that's the part of the equation that I'm not. But yes, so I got to do that, which was insane. Like, leading up to it, I think I spent an entire week probably cooking, and then there was the 2 days, which were, I don't know how many hours of nonstop work. I think the Saturday, the busiest day, was 18 hours of nonstop work. And the crazy thing, too, was that I had never done anything like this in my life, so you kind of had to learn on the spot, which is easier said than done when you're dealing with, the retail business. Like, how the fuck do you sell shit, which sounds easy, but is harder than it seems.
Yeah, there's a whole industry that's exists just to teach people how to sell.
Exactly. So I got to do that, which was fun for me because I always, this is kind of weird, this is a personality trait of mine, but I love doing something in order to be able to think about it later, like to draw on from that experience. Like what I learned from a two-day cafe is stuff that I'm still just digesting now. It really allows me to think about it. And anybody who knows me knows that that's kind of one of my favorite pastimes, just to think about shit. And this is just one of those instances where I got to do that. So I was still in that mode. I've been struggling to get back into, that whole atheist thing or whatever that we do. But get back we must. So the mailbag is, I think, a good way to get back into it and into the swing of things. Everybody always loves hearing their own questions. Some people geek out. They're in their car, they're working out, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, that's my question. So unfortunately, anybody who didn't get to ask it, Please visit the site every once in a while. We put news up there, and follow us on Twitter or Facebook. There's a Facebook fan page. I put up any notices on there, so if you want to know when the mailbags come up, because you want your questions answered as well, you'll have to pay attention in one way or another.
Yeah, this is total fan service, because we do answer every single question, no matter how ridiculous or awesome it may be.
Yep, let's start with the first one.
Okay, Chocobar asks, Canada has a new conservative majority government. Prime Minister Harper has made no secrets about his religious leanings. Your thoughts?
I went to go and check out the church that Stephen Harper belongs to, which is called the Christian and Missionary Alliance, which is a Canadian evangelical denomination. So I thought I'd just go through the rigmarole of what they believe, and then we can just discuss it. So, obviously, there's the Trinity, there's the belief that Jesus is a God, that the Holy Spirit is all over the place, all the time, that the Bible is literally true, that man was created in the image of God, that we have to repent, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and probably just, do that whole blah, 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 blah. They believe in the healing power of prayer and anointed oil. They think that Jesus is going to come back and that he's going to reign on earth for 1,000 years before kicking Satan back to hell or something like that. So they're premillennialists. That's what that's called. That's the specifics of his belief. That's what his church believes, and he's stuck by that. So the prime minister of our country is this man. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't like it. What can I do? Fucking the reason why a guy like Harper exists is, at least I think, due to the overwhelming fact that old people vote way more than young people, and the conservative element of our society in Canada is merely a reflection of just old people not wanting to, brush away their old ideas, in a sense. I mean, how many people do you know in Canada, really, do you know that are that religious? Like, it's, even though there are pretty, some pockets here or there, generally speaking, it's not in everybody's face. So it's surprising to have that religious of a prime minister.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. But, I feel like a lot of people treat the conservatives like they're boogeymen or something like that, and that they're going to completely turn everything on its head. Sure, they're going to do a bunch of stupid things that we generally disagree with, but the great thing about the Canadian government, or the terrible thing, is that so little actually gets accomplished that I'm sure any damage that they do can be undone down the road.
So the good news is nothing gets done.
Pretty much.
Nothing gets done. All right, let's move on.
Okay, Raiden wants to know, hey, I just wanted to know your thoughts on the paranoia that is occurring in places like Europe, Australia, and to some extent Canada about the Muslim world population. People are anxious and scared that as the Muslim population increases in the Western world, they will somehow have more dominance. Do you think this is reasonable or just a general fear of, say, terrorism or Muslim culture in general?
I think it's a pretty huge amount of just fear propaganda. I mean, considering that the Muslims that you're afraid of, okay, the Arab kind, only are a tiny minority of actual all the Muslims in the world. The majority of them are actually Asian. They live in Indonesia. And their Islam is just so incomprehensible. Like, it's just essentially what you expect from pagan Christians. You know, it's just that same kind of fusion of their own primitive belief with Islam. It just happens. So I think that to some degree, yeah, there is a big amount of paranoia. On the other hand, I think it's important to recognize that there is still, this is still a community in general. Like, the fundamental Islamic groups are very good at working within the kind of tight-knit communities that develop even in even in the West. So there's plenty of instances of honor rapes and killings in Western countries, and that's fucking shocking. You know, when somebody tells you every year in Germany there are 500, it's like estimated there are 500 women that get murdered, like, through honor killings every year, you're like, that's a lot of people. So we still have to understand that Islam is a very frightening ideology. I don't want to go and say that necessarily the paranoia is entirely justified, but it is still a serious threat to many of our belief systems, particularly about freedom of speech and the right to have dissenting opinions. They represent a threat to those values. And it's weird because now how are we supposed to respond to those threats? To do the same things ourselves? That's pretty fucked up.
What do you mean by doing the same things ourselves?
Well, by censoring religion or preventing them from expressing themselves. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're stuck in a weird conundrum here.
It's like a, like with France and the burqa.
Yeah, exactly. We value people's individual freedom, but we recognize that they can be hijacked and then eliminated or destroyed. It has happened before, so it does create a lot of nervousness in people. You know, especially if I watch videos of young Muslim men in France that have absolutely no love for their country or their fellows, and are really sort of like latched on to the kind of romantic image that fundamentalists paint of saying, like, are you humiliated? Has your culture been subjugated by the West? Do you feel, like, not empowered? Which is pretty much like every young, poor, stupid male out there, which is what they fucking target. And now you have an individual that can very easily be convinced to be the enemy of his fellow. That's pretty fucking frightening. So we have a right to be worried about dangerous ideologies, and I think that there's a huge case to be made for just how dangerous Islam really has become as an ideology. We could pussyfoot around saying a person saying, oh, that's just the minority of people, and you're like, well, it's still a growing minority. They're finding plenty of fuel, and it seems that the religion itself has no particularly problem with honoring lots of these insane tenets that every other religion is kind of embarrassingly tucked under the rug, you know? Islam sort of declares, like, it's proud of it, and that's what makes it so scary.
Yeah, they need to modernize and chill out a little bit. Is the general thing about it.
is that likely to happen? I don't generally think so. Also because of the relationship between specifically the Middle East and the West. Not altogether, it's not like a clean affair where you can easily place blame here, but the politics have mixed in with religion because that's what Islam is all about, is a political religion. So what the fuck you thinking to happen? It's a toxic mix to everything. It's like, It poisons the ability for individuals to negotiate. It destroys cooperation. It's a poisonous idea, and that's all it is. It's just a stupid fucking idea. It can easily be forgotten, but it's not. That's what sucks about it. All right, let's move on.
Okay, Ryan wants to know, and this is not me, Ryan. This is another Ryan.
This is another one.
Do you think it is possible to justify a fiscal and or social political position as an atheist with a thorough understanding of evolution, especially where the parties and platforms are more distinct, like in the U.S.?
Is it possible to justify a social political position based on your view of evolution? I think that parts of your political position will be influenced by it. I mean, think about the way that it's influenced for evangelicals, where they try to prevent stem cell research. So if we accept evolution, we understand that it's an important thing to understand, you know, to master. I don't want to say master, but to keep track of, you know, in terms of making medicines and so on and so forth. Yeah, okay, it will influence it. But I don't think you could just say, I'm going to start an atheist political party and have necessarily a strong platform.
Yeah, evolution doesn't really, I don't see it in that light. I think any time that evolution tends to get played into a socio-political situation, it ends up being like, I don't know, the Russians doing crazy experiments or the Nazis doing crazy experiments. Doesn't usually end up working out or representing evolution very well. So I wouldn't want to probably build all that much around it.
It's, yeah, it's messy.
Scientific understanding, on the other hand, is a great thing to base everything around. And that it would be very nice if there was a party slash platform out there, like in the U.S. Like, in the U.S., it would be great if there was just a block that figured out scientifically certain truths and pushed agendas that represented scientific understandings of the way that the world works. That would be nice.
That would indeed be nice. I don't think it would be a political party. I think it would be something like a very influential think tank, for instance. You know, I could see groups of atheists doing that, wanting to influence things that way. And really, like you said before, if we're able to make people understand and respect the scientific process more, we really need to get people to understand how valuable it is. A lot of people dismiss it. You know, they're always like, oh, science doesn't know everything and all this other kind of ridiculous nonsense, not realizing that 90% of all the fucking scientists that have ever lived are alive today. Every improvement or that you have in life that has improved your lot has been the function of very recent discoveries. We have to accept how recent these discoveries are, and we need to really respect them a little bit more. I'm sick and tired of people not really respecting it. That's, I think, partially our job. Not fully, but I mean, who else is going to fucking do it, right? And we got yeah. we have the data to back it up. So you have the easy argument to win. All right, everybody else is just spewing nonsense and noise. You behind you have a process that is trying to find objective truth. And is there anything else that we can say is better than that? Like, what is better than objective truth, for fuck's sakes? Figuring out how shit works. Because every time we try to figure it out based on just our imagination, we not only get it wrong, but we get it wrong, like, disastrously, like, monstrously. So it's important to really try to get it right. So think tanks.
Ready
think
for the
tanks,
next question?
Think tanks. Yeah, let's do it.
This is one of the ones for Carissa. Should I still read it? Do you have an
I have
answer,
her,
an answer
I have
for this reader in proxy?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Wolfenlinden asks, Carissa, are you coming back to Burning Man this year? If so, are you camping anywhere specific? If not, why not?
Okay, so Carissa will not be attending Burning Man this year, to her great disappointment. Because, first of all, we're traveling all over the place, and I think that she has a few shows that she's going to be doing around that time. And, you know, with the option between spending hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars to get to Burning Man or making money, we have to go with the making money part. So, unfortunately, she will not be attending. She hopes to attend next year. I think I may join her on that just to see. I wanted to see kind of gift economies and how they function. I'm very curious about that, so I may check it out myself next year. Not a promise, though. Do not hold me up to it, people.
Yeah, I'm going to be... I keep on trying to go, and I was thinking maybe this year, but not this year. Maybe next year, though. Maybe. Maybe someday. Hopefully soon, before the government says it's not allowed to happen anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go before they shut her down.
Okay, Dayton wants to know. This is a bit of a long one. Getting in my comfy reading position.
All right, do it.
A couple weeks ago, we had a dugnad, which is a Norwegian word meaning something like mandatory community work, at my apartment building. It's interesting that that exists at all. Anyways, one of the several tasks this year included cleaning out the attic. It's the first cleaning in over 20 years. Anyways, during the packing and moving process, I happened upon a book called A Course in Miracles from the Foundation for Inner Peace. It was published in the mid-90s and looked as if it had never been read. The obvious collector's item includes subsections on immensely revealing topics such as miracles as true perception, the only answer, the unbelievable belief, and the substitute reality. A section I think listeners of TGA might find particularly amusing is called The Denial of God. This section tries to present an argument for why deniers actually love God. And here's the strange text that they use. This is throughout the whole book. Son of God, you have not sinned, but you have been much mistaken. Yet this can be corrected, and God will help you, knowing that you could not sin against him. You denied him because you loved him, knowing that if you recognized your love for him, you could not deny him. Your denial of him, therefore, means that you love him, and that you know he loves you. Remember that when you deny, you must...
Have once known. Yeah.
Okay. Remember that when you deny, you must once... Yeah, I can't even read that fucking
Remember
sentence.
That what you deny, you must have once known.
That's a tough one. And if you accept denial, you can accept its undoing.
So his question is, any chance you want this book in your library? Good God, yes. You must send me this. It seems delightful. Like these insane passages. The only way that you can deny him is by knowing him and loving him. What?
Reminds me of that tired Christian thing where people say that if you don't believe in God, it's just because you have a beef with God and he hates you, and you hate him for something. It's like God is your dad and you're having a spat with dad.
You know what it reminds me of? I put up a video a little while about this Muslim creationist who went to a atheist convention. He was asking Richard Dawkins a question, and he said, throughout your books and interviews, it's clear that you're in favor of design. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Have you read his shit? Honestly. It makes you kind of wonder sometimes if a person's belief structure really makes them incapable. Like, it is impossible for them to really actually grasp the idea, because the necessity of their belief requires that all of this, the idea that life could evolve, is just, they can't accept it. Their belief precludes this. It is impossible. So anytime they read something, it's like a weird brain switch where you're reading it completely fucking wrong. You're like, huh, clearly he's in favor of design, and he used the word chance here. So obviously he thinks it's chance. Aha, I see. You weren't really reading it. You were just waiting to see some words that already corresponded with your pre-existing bias. Congratulations. That's a really good way to educate yourself. You must be very proud. Anyways, that's what it reminds me of, that line of argument where the person's like, well, there's no way you can't love him. He's totally exists. No, really, he doesn't. Have you thought about the possibility that it's just all made up in your head? Have you thought about that? Is that even something you can accept for a moment? Or is it like your religion says, if you do that, you will be condemned to hell and there's nothing you can do about it? Denial of the Holy Spirit, man. It is a sin. If you fucking think it for a second, you're doomed to hell. Fun.
Yeah, that was one of the interesting things about this book, is that it sure seems all lovey-dovey. Doesn't remind me of the God that if you slip for a second, if you think he doesn't exist, curse to hell.
Yeah, well, he's that same God. Remember that when he was traveling with the Jews during Exodus? Any slight fucking complaint, and they would be killed with fire or plague or whatever other creative ways, or snakes, whatever creative ways God really wanted to eliminate his chosen people. So, and that's apparently the ones he loves the most. I can only imagine how he feels about those that deny him.
All of that Old Testament stuff has always kind of reminded me. One of the biggest reasons that I always thought the whole Jesus parable is stupid is that it latches onto the whole Abrahamic religion so lamely. I mean, reading the Old Testament, you know this is a vengeful God. Does he seem like the kind of God that later on will be like, well, I will send down a quote-unquote son or something, and he'll die on the cross, and that will you guys will kill him, and then that'll make everything okay? That doesn't seem like his style. Sound like his style at all.
It definitely sounds like something fishy's going on here.
Okay, next question.
Yep.
Nyanya Cat asks, just wanted a little bit of an opinion on the differences in religiosity between the U.S. and Canada. Why are they so different? I think in Canada it's because it has to do with how multicultural and liberal we are. But in the U.S., man, I don't understand it, why they are so religious. I doubt it has something to do with being founded in part by Puritans. I just don't know, man. So please enlighten me.
Okay, so the reason I think, at least from everything that I've ever read, why the U.S. and Canada are different in terms of their religiosity has to do with something called the Second Great Awakening. Okay, this is around the time where Joseph Smith was coming up with his religion, but he wasn't the only one. There's lots of different kinds of religion popping up, a kind of fervor, if you want, around that time. It happens every once in a while in the U.S. You can track it. It's not seasonal, but you know, it spans over decades where you'll have like a big dip and then all of a sudden a resurgence or a renewed energy. And most of the time they're centered around some kind of imminent disaster or date that, you know, because I don't know if you've noticed this, but in the major difference in Canada's U.S. is you don't have a lot of these premillennialists, the people that are just anticipating the fucking return of God and the eventual annihilation of everything. That's really much much more of an American tradition, and it stems from this second great awakening, and even stems from something much more recent, which are the, sad to say, the Left Behind series and the late great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey and all these other kinds of idiot books that just try to predict, oh, here's when the Bible says that the earth will end, and people eat that shit up. They wait for it. And I think it may also have something to do with the fact that, in terms of quality of life, it's much lower in the U.S. in general. Like, I go to some of your cities and towns, it's like a fucking third world out there, man. It is disastrous. Buildings falling apart, like paint peeling everywhere. You don't even, like, the backyard is full of garbage. It's low standard of quality of life, and also a very fucking shitty education system combines. These are a kind of toxic soup of ignorance, which you just happen to be brewing a little bit more than us. But trust me when I say that we don't pat ourselves too hard on the back, okay? 14% feel the same way that the 40% of Americans do. So we're not doing that great.
Okay, Bumblebee asks, what is it with religion and sex? I understand they don't approve of premarital sex, but sometimes it seems like they don't want anyone to have any fun at all. What's up with that? And more importantly, why do so many people back up that kind of talk and then do whatever they want anyways? It has to be pretty horrible constantly doing something while saying it's immoral.
I think that there's a weird relationship between Christian purity and sexual repression and its manifestation. Like, I'm going to use, this is going to be a weird example, but I'm going to use the emergence of homosexuality, like, as it became much more of the norm. Right around the time, like in the 1970s, it started getting pretty fucking hardcore. Like, there were, you know, STDs were kind of combining in new and, well, exciting ways for epidemiologists, but everybody else, it was kind of disastrous. And part of the reason, like a lot of people say, that part of the reason why there was kind of like a gigantic freak out was because it had been so, it was something that was considered sinful or dirty or whatever. There's this strange attractiveness when you do that, when you make something forbidden or bad or wrong. It attracts the wrong kind of behavior towards that aspect. It attracts the wrong kinds of people. And that influences how that works out. Like, isn't it strange that when you consider the fact that people who have more stringent religious views on pornography are also more likely to watch pornography? Because, you know what, sometimes pornography bores me because I don't have to feel bad or feel like it's crazy or wrong for me to look at it. And that adds to the hotness, okay? It adds so much to the hotness. Like, that's why you just have to be a bit more liberated, or else people go crazy. The more you fucking make something wrong to do, the more awesome that thing's going to feel when they do it. And that's just that kind of the fucked up thing. And that's why you'll always see, like, you just wonder, why would this person who claims to have like this high moral standing on sexuality, why are they the biggest hypocrites? And you're like, well, think about what they've done. They've elevated their own morality. They may hold these views, and that's a fucking dangerous thing to hold, because when you think you are above your own animal instincts and desires, that's when you're the most vulnerable to them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also that whole 1984 theory that, you know, you control sex, you control people. And, you know, the whole idea that a lot of it's a tricky one. It's really an all over the place thing, but I think it comes down to the fact that when you boil it down, we are creatures that are on this earth, and we have crazy drives and desires to fuck because it's all about procreation, right? You know, when it comes down to it. So religion tries to create some kind of framework where you don't just fuck everything that moves like a crazy masturbating ape.
Even though that's what you really want.
Pretty much. And it has led us to this whole stick up the butt thing that we got going on right now.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, G.A. Wolf wants to know what we're reading this week. Would be cool to see more about what is on your current reading list from a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, and give people insights for arguments or further questions.
Well, actually, I was planning on starting to do much more comprehensive newsletters and stuff like that. People will have, every month I'll send one out. What am I reading? So that you guys will see, a bit of a review on what I've been reading so far. Because a lot of people have been asking me, and I figured, like, why not? It's definitely something that I've wanted to include. It's just the discipline. It's difficult to get there, you know, when there's so much you want to offer. Meanwhile, you're kind of like, fuck, I feel like I don't have the time or the energy or the devotion, when really it's just a matter of discipline. So we're going to try to be much more disciplined. I read these books, so I might as well tell you about it. And I've always, I remember when I thought about that website where people could submit books that they've read. You know, if you respect someone and you wonder, how did you come up with your ideas? Knowing what books they read is a kind of a unique experience. It really allows you to dissect how they came up with the ideas themselves. So I love reading what people who I respect and admire read, just to know how they came up with those thoughts, because we all get influenced by that. And hopefully I can give at least some of that through the list of books that I get. Because I even also get books that, you know, or may not be popular. Publishers are saying, like, hey, maybe your audience would like to hear about this. So I have to do a better job at letting everyone know of the cool secular products that are out there.
I used to put all the books that I read up on Facebook. They used to have these apps that would show the book up in like a sidebar, so people coming to your profile could see them. But then Facebook changed the way that everything was. Another one of those redesigns that they did that made everything worse. And all of a sudden, you couldn't see the books anymore. They would show up for like a second in your stream and then just disappear forever. And what's the point of continuing to compile them then? So maybe there'll be another widget that we can add to the sidebar, because I love sharing the books that I read.
I think it's a good thing, and we'll definitely try to add that. If not in that format, in a kind of a micro review or something like that. So we're gonna include that a lot more, and make finding that stuff a little bit easier for you guys. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to tell them I got a book on the go right now. It's in my Kindle. It's basically how I read everything right now. It's called Physics of the Future, How Science Will Shape Human Destiny in Our Daily Lives by the Year 2100. It's by this guy named Michio Kaku. He's apparently a host on the Science Channel, but I was unaware of that when I picked up the book. It's pretty neat. I'm looking forward to the future, man. Looking forward to having my head in a jar hooked up to the internet forever.
Yeah, well, you can look forward to that. I'm reading a book called Why We Believe in Gods. And I don't even know if it's come out yet, because I think this is just a review copy. Although I did ask them if they could send me the Kindle version, and they were like, we don't know if we can make that happen. Which is strange, but okay, all right, whatever. I prefer, like you, the Kindle versions. I'm like, please don't send me these books that I have to carry around. I don't want to do that. I've officially gotten off that bandwagon.
Okay, Clint asks, I would love to hear Carissa's thoughts on Blaghag's post about atheist women not being involved in the scene just for eye candy purposes.
Oh, man. See, that's why it's too bad that Carissa's not doing the show. I think I'll be a bit of a dick, and I'll ask Clint to hold off that question for some other time where she can come on, because she had quite a few things to say. I don't want to repeat them, because then I'll be viewed as the one that's sexist.
Oh, wait, she had some views, but if you repeat them because you're a guy, it'll make you sound
bad.
That's
right. Yeah. That's how it works.
Well, I could just put out some thought. Basically, I mean, the Blaghag post is just all about talking about how some chicks went to an atheist convention and they found that they were treated in a sexist manner. And if you happen to be an attractive atheist, then that's all you're kind of seen as. It's like an eye candy. So, but I just like to point out that the atheism scene is in desperate need of just cool people in general. Not to say that it's not already full, but, we're always on the lookout for more. And when we always find more, we just kind of, we act inappropriately about it. So I don't think it's the end of the world. It's just, we're still getting over it.
Well, let me say this. If there was, because I remember one of the arguments was like, well, we never say that we should try to get hot guys to attract more women to the atheism scene. I'm like, why not? I think that's actually a great fucking idea. Can we get some more hot guys? Yeah, I don't care. See, that for me is the difference. I just recognize that if there is any sexism or whatever, that it's essentially really boils down to the individual. Stop dragging everything else out from that one conversation. If someone hits on you, okay, however they hit on you, that's your business between you and that other person. Stop fucking dragging my entire scene in it every time that happens, okay? All right, so someone made a comment saying, wow, well, we have Zomgits Chris, that the hot atheist chick that I was saying, and somebody made a comment about how hot she was, and be like, well, she's not only just that. No, of course not. I did enjoy her videos as well. Now they seem kind of, what I'm looking for, like they lost a bit of their luster, but I mean, I suppose that happened. I could make the same claim about us. But my general point is, it's always the same discussion. Is there sexism in the atheism scene? I'm like, look, that's a person to person issue. The scene in general, like, I do not find so of any scene, and we're part of a few. Trust me, it's a lot worse in many of the other ones. Okay, you have no fucking idea.
Yeah, that Zomgits Chris chick is pretty hot.
She is pretty hot.
But I'd love to have a conversation sometime on a different level about all of her great ideas, because, yeah, her videos are rocking.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry to say, it does help that she's hot. It really does help. Like, it helps in everything else. Why are we denying this? You know, people that are more attractive, they get treated special, because that's how we are. We think that they're smarter than they are. What can we do? We're influenced by that. Why are we denying this influence? I just don't understand. Like, do we want to be better than ourselves? Well, you can't. You're just you. You are who you are. Stop fucking denying it.
Okay, Joseph Scott asks... that's not a question. Damn it! Conversation in the question thread upsets
me. You know,
that's
bad netiquette, everybody. I think there's one more. Tim.
Yeah. Tim asks, G'day. Guess he's an Australian. Do you think imposing an age restriction like an R18 plus for movies on exposure to religious material would help eliminate religious indoctrination? Of course, providing such a thing could ever be effectively enforced.
You know what? I don't think so. But in a sense, religious indoctrination only works if really it's coming from all angles all the time. Like, you'll notice that people who are really religiously indoctrinated tend to be kind of isolated from everyone else. All right, and the bonus show that I made with Chris, the last one, lots of people, by the way, if you haven't signed in, it is free. Many people were saying in the comments that it's been their favorite episode so far. It's a hell of a long episode. It's like almost fucking 3 hours. But the reason that people felt so strongly and with it is because part of his story is just the difficulty that he had in separating himself from that environment. And that's something that I'm sure a lot of people feel, and they know that, you know, there's a huge restriction for that environment. Like, don't go out there, don't learn these things, because they know what'll happen. You'll start questioning their stupid indoctrinating techniques. You'll be like, this doesn't make any sense. Your story makes no fucking sense. This is ludicrous. So I don't think you actually need to worry about one movie influencing your child and indoctrinating them. I would say that if they were at that point, like, you fail as a parent, so to give them critical thinking skills, that's your bad, okay? Otherwise, if you give a person the kind of skeptical toolkit that every human being has to some degree or another, either through, you know, sort of benefit of wisdom or experience, you know, we all get burned every once and again. We wise up, sometimes the hard way. But yeah, I don't think it's really necessary. We just have to make it so that, do some simple things. Number one, stop funding faith schools with money. That's stupid. You know, they go around teaching kids their nonsense with your money. Does that sound like something that's fun? I think that that's retarded. That's where I'm really mad at. VeggieTales as a movie, I could give more of a rat's ass. Trust me, no one comes out of that more religious. You either were going in or you're not coming out.
Yeah, I've watched some and they're not that bad.
Yeah, they're so tame. They're so fucking tame. I'm like, I don't even know if they... I don't even think they know the message. Because I'm like, well, that's not really the message of Christianity. No. Really not the message. Okay, that's all the questions, eh?
Yep.
We didn't have anything on Twitter or Facebook. So, like I said before, if you want to be part of the mailbag, get yourself hooked up on one of those planes, and then you'll know. We'll put it at least a day in advance from now on, so you guys will have your questions answered. And there's so many people listening to the podcast. Trust me when I say, like, 12 questions is pretty light considering how big it is. So I know that I was gone for a week. It's kind of dickish for me to say that's how I'm going to go back into it. But what can I say? I am a dick. Just, did you not know this? Is it a mystery? No.
All we can do is promise to do better and then break your hearts again.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
That's what I do. I break my promises for a living. All right, we'd like to thank everybody who's a contributing member. If you love the show and you need more, well, we offer a bonus membership, $20 a year, and that gives you 50 shows more a week. Well, not a week, a month, not a month, a year. What's wrong with me? I'm fucking retarded today. Let me repeat that. You get an extra show a week for a whole year, all right? However that amounts to, it's close to 50.
Plus, don't forget, you get all of the old shows that we did, all the old Star Member shows, and there's, what, over 50? So maybe in a way that you do get...
There's almost 90 bonus shows that they have
there you go.
Access to. So it's pretty crazy how much content there is for so little, and it helps us do what we do. This is how we make a living. We make it from selling memberships. So please, if you were thinking about it, join up, and even if you want to, if you don't want to pay into it yet, sign up as a freebie member. Like I said, last show was a monster, and I think everybody should listen to it because it's definitely a compelling story, and plus it's soundtracked by him, so added feature. Go sign up now.
He's the guy that did the new theme song, right?
That's right. He's gonna be helping us develop a whole bunch of other cool content. I'm gonna take all the Bible stories, and we're gonna be pimping it out. Essentially, it's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be fucking awesome. All right, enough of my bad promises. We're gonna catch everybody this weekend for the bonus show. With that, my name is Jacob Forte,
and I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.